Could you tell me a little bit, first of all, Inge, about yourself and the work that you're doing here at the University of Alberta?
Well, I'm an associate professor here in the Department of Biochemistry, and what we're interested in our research lab is looking at the basic biology of cancer, trying to understand what that cancer cell is doing that allows it to proliferate, grow unchecked, and trying to see whether or not some of the basic discoveries we make have clinical applications. So that's where we then branch out and look at team members to help us with the clinical angle.
Now, you're just starting a new project where you're going to be looking at treatment for breast cancer. What is the concern that you're looking at?
So we were trying to understand the basic biology of how a particular chemotherapy works, and this chemotherapy is taxane. And it's taken by a lot of women with under treatment for breast cancer. And we don't really know why some women do well and some women don't. So there's something called chemotherapeutic resistance in the clinic, which can manifest, you know, up to 50% or so. Some numbers are in that range. So it's a very major clinical problem. And we want to understand how can we distinguish, how can we subdivide, or some people say personalize the medicine so that women that will do well will be able to identify them before treatment, and then they can immediately be treated with that particular drug.
So essentially what you're saying is half the women who take this particular treatment actually develop a resistance to it. Do you have any indication at this point why that might be?
So that's a great question. So whether they develop a resistance due to the treatment or whether they were resistant to begin with, we can't really tell. We do know that there's a relapse, so we say that that's resistance. How that works and why that works is a great question, and that's what we're trying to understand. And if we can understand the pathways that are activated in response to the drug, if we can identify within the cell which aspects of that pathway are missing, then that's a potential way to, you know, to personalize the medicine. So right now it's kind of a black box, and I think we need to really understand how that drug works.
So are you saying that you're actually starting off at ground zero, or the very first step?
For us, it's not really ground zero. It's so many labs are looking at chemotherapeutic resistance in general, taxane chemotherapeutic resistance as well. There are a lot of biomarkers that stratify with and without responses of treatment in perhaps cell culture, but we don't necessarily see those moving towards an actual clinical reason. So the clinical reason for chemotherapeutic resistance isn't validated in such that there is no current test that's available. So for us, it's ground zero because, you know, it's a new project for us, but we thought just understanding the exact pathway that's activated, and we work on something called apoptosis, which is a cell death pathway, which is the pathway we really want to activate with chemotherapy in terms of we want that cancer cell to kill itself. So, you know, it's not ground zero because it's a big, big field, but for us it was just trying to find out reasonably what's a good candidate.
So what do you know right now?
We know from our previous work that there's a particular protein which seems to be low in cell lines that do not respond well to the drug. In cell lines that had high levels of this protein, we took it out, genetically manipulated, and then all of a sudden those cells became resistant. That gave us a candidate. So that particular candidate, we then looked at clinical samples, and we saw that there was a correlation with women that did well with the treatment having high levels of that protein. So this could potentially be a diagnostic kit, but we need to look at, you know, hundreds and hundreds of patients in order to say, yes, I firmly believe this is a robust kit. So we're on the task now of going forward, of moving our initial studies, validating, getting more samples, and trying to see whether or not it will come through.
So does this mean you would be able to tell which women would develop resistance and those who wouldn't?
Yeah, for this particular application for taxanes, we are hoping to be able to predict ahead of time, before treatment, whether a patient is a good candidate.
And how would you do that?
Well, for the candidates that we find, the tumor is biopsied, and there are a number of screens that it goes through under regular protocol in order to personalize at the level of estrogen receptor or HER2. So there's a number of markers for different particular treatment regimes. So it would be an application within that. So the biopsy would be tested for our candidate marker that we hope will come through. And then that will help the clinician decide the treatment options.
Who is supporting this research?
So in the past, it's been supported very well by Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation, Alberta Cancer Foundation, and the Women's and Children's Health Research Institute at the University of Alberta. And now we're taking it to the level where we need to look at a lot of samples, and we have support right now from Alberta Innovates Health Solutions with the Pfizer partner in terms of trying to translate our basic discovery into something that potentially is clinically relevant.
How long will it take you to go through this particular part of the research?
The grant is a 1.5-year grant, so that's a very short amount of time. I don't know how long it will take. I would predict it will take at least 1.5 years of that grant-funded time to bring it to the levels of getting the samples and doing the statistical analysis and the actual experimental work. So over 1.5 years to, you know, to bring it to all these different levels, because we have to go through a number of approved tests and testing protocols for something like this.
And what would be the next step after that?
So we're looking right now for validation on our current studies. We would probably want to have another validation set. So we're trying to form partnerships with other areas. So, you know, we're also looking in Europe. So this would be a worldwide collaboration. And after that, then we would ask that if we see something that's robust and something that we believe is true and that's been validated through FDA-approved protocols, then we would ask there to be a kit generated, and so we would go in partnership with industry to generate that kit.
And the kit then, what do you envision that being? Would it be something fairly simple?
Yeah, it would be really simple. It'd be very amenable to the way that we look at biopsy samples now that are clinically relevant. It would be probably a kit using an antibody and putting that on biopsy samples.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.